Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Brady, Kyrie, Phil Mickelson, the U.S. Open. Hardy with a big, big bad word today on the show. All of that.
You don't have to celebrate it.
Yes, I do. Zoe and I did with a high five. We do. We had a big
What'd you say, Farfanugan?
Yep. Celebratory five.
Are you frantic?
Joe's in Providence. Hey, Joe.
Hey, what's going on, boys?
Joe. Hi.
So, how was Zach Brown?
It was good.
You notice that, like, all the smoke show chicks are at country concerts now? Like, you go to a rock concert, there's just, like, 20,000 sweaty dudes.
I think it's pretty much been that way for how long now?
Been that way for a while, but I always look at those boots. All those girls are wearing the cowboy boots with the short shorts. What do those feet smell like when they peel those boots off at the end of the night?
My question
I play the tape to the end. That's the difference with me.
My question is, what percentage really thinks that they should be in that outfit or should? Honest question.
Like, going to a country concert is like Halloween, too. Like, why does everybody have to dress up like
that? We're going to be a country. We're going to use spit tune.
Wear a cowboy hat.
Or ride my horse.
Are we all in agreement that Brady knew that question was coming? Absolutely, right?
Yes.
Did he sound prepared? Because he didn't sound prepared to me unless he took some acting classes. I don't understand. How long? Why wouldn't you just say, hey, you know what? Of course there's something going on between us. We've been working together for 20 years. We have differing opinions at times, but you know what? We talk about it. We get to the best solution for the team. We move on, and we've been amazingly successful. I don't understand how that wasn't his answer or something close to it. I don't know if he purposely decided.
You think it's his first interview? Come on. I mean, if everything does is calculated.
His point is that if it's so...
He did it on purpose.
Why, though? Why? If that's the case, then why?
That's exactly what I was getting at. Did he do this on purpose? Did he purposely want to give a strange answer to make it clear, like, hey, you know, like, this is not good, and I'm obviously lying? Because, I mean, the guy, he knows how to play the game with the media, and that was as bad of an answer as you could give.
Yeah, Joe, please don't suggest that Tom Brady would not tell the truth, because that will upset Peter in New Hampshire.
I love him.
Did he do it on purpose? Was that with a purpose to say, yeah, God, what you think is going on is going on?
Well, it's better than pleading the fifth, right, to what he asked when he was asked by Jim Gray, right? Not Jim Gray. Who did the interview at the Milken Institute? What's that?
Yeah, it's Jim Gray.
Yeah, it's Jim Gray, right? What am I thinking?
I love him.
Wait a minute. You know what's funny?
Hmm.
The Milken answer
about the same time,
came
right?
after
oh.
the Oprah answer. Okay. So he had time between the Oprah
That's right.
interview
That's right.
when he gave that terrible answer that he gave that we played today. And in real time, he gave that answer before he had the Jim Gray interview. And in the Jim Gray interview, he didn't do that again. And he changed his answer to pleading the fifth.
And Jim
because
Gray
he didn't want to do it because he didn't like the answer he gave to Oprah.
Well, think about that. Jim Gray sitting there with the headphones on listening to the whole thing. So he and Tommy talk about it next. Hey, the Oprah one, maybe you want to answer this one differently when I ask it to you.
Right. He's probably saying, Tom, don't answer that the way you did.
Wow. That's what we do here. Timeline it. See, people think this just came, like he just did the interview Friday. No.
No, he taped the Oprah interview prior to the Jim Gray interview in which he pled the fifth.
Right.
You're right.
Because he jumped that. I plead. Remember, he gave the big smile and he grabbed his armchair rest. He said, I plead the fifth. Much different answer than what he gave Oprah. Different audience.
Yes, but in the same
the
week.
Audience.
It's all in the same week.
Kind of interesting how you could give two different type answers to two different audiences.
Jake is in Andover. Hey, Jake.
How you doing, guys?
Hey.
So, I guess I'm going to go on the philosophy of this. I assume that we're probably not going to get any straight answers from Brady. We're not going to get any straight answers from Belichick. Do you think this just, again, like, resting it to peace, deal with them for right now, but do you think we can just, like, hopefully hope there's going to be a plan going forward? Like, this year, what my thoughts were on the draft was drafting the guard and the first-round running back. So, say, next year we get, you know, a really stud linebacker and another defensive piece. Do you think we can just put up with Brady for 2 years, squeeze the greatness left in him while he's doing TB12, whatever the hell it is, squeeze what we got left out of Brady, and then in 2020, 2021, look at the guys who have proven themselves in the NFL already, whose rookie contracts, whose possible contracts might be up, and you look at the names out there, and just instead of hoping there's a guy in the draft, reach out and snag one of them. You got guys like Russell Wilson, Carson Wentz, Dak Prescott, Deshaun Watson. You have a million guys that if they can prove themselves in the NFL, you think that we can just absorb them.
Jake,
yeah, what's up?
How often does a franchise quarterback move in the NFL?
Again, well, we're going to see. I mean,
almost never. Almost never is the answer.
I wouldn't classify Alex Smith as one.
Almost never. I mean, it's rare that Kirk Cousins move from one team to another. And look
there
at all
the people that debate whether he's a franchise guy because he
doesn't
win.
That went on
win.
There with the franchise tags and everything that happened leading up to that.
It's almost like the Redskins are holding out. We're not sure. We don't win. You know, we need to win playoff games.
If that's your plan, it's not a good one.
Yeah,
that's a bad way of planning it.
And Minnesota to sign that type of contract seems desperate.
Well, you don't want to give $100 million to Kirk Cousins or Alex Smith?
No.
Not to Alex Smith. I would to Kirk Cousins. If you didn't have a quarterback, I would do it. I think that's a good signing.
I'd take Cousins over Smith.
I'd absolutely take Kirk Cousins. Yep. I would not do that for Alex Smith.
There's another contract Brady's looking at. Jesus. Fully guaranteed contract.
Right. What the hell has Kirk Cousins done? That guy's going to get $100 million over the next 4 years.
See, it's more
if
about...
If I hang around for 4 years, am I going to get $100 million?
Again, people keep saying Garoppolo. It's more about everybody. It's the league. And the money that's there. And it's what you feel you deserve now.
Andrew in Weymouth. Hey, Andrew.
Hey, guys. How are we today?
Good.
Hi.
Hey, guys. So I have a good question for you guys. What direction do you think the Celtics are going to take for next year? I mean, are they going to sign another superstar? Are they going to keep everything the same? I mean, there's a lot of questions that we don't really know because the Celtics have so many options what to do. And that's what makes it very exciting for me. And I'm just kind of curious, what do you think?
Wait, for when? You're talking about this offseason or next?
Well, this offseason and the next season. And, I mean, are they going to go after another superstar? Or do you think they're just going to keep everything the same?
I have zero idea. None. No idea. I won't pretend to have an idea. I don't know.
Let's play what's going on in Danny Ainge's
head. No idea what's in the middle of Danny Ainge's ears. None.
Nor does Kyrie. No matter how many times he takes him to Chipotle.
Nor does anybody, really. I mean, you might get rumors where things started to move, but for anyone to claim they know what he's thinking, good luck. That's a fool's errand right there. Nope, not going to do it. Pat in Templeton. Hey, Pat.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Huge kind of conspiracy theory here, but did you ever think Brady didn't want Bill to win without him? You know, he had Garoppolo behind him. He was like, oh, crap. Well, you know. It was the who needed who. Did Bill need Brady? Did Brady need Bill? He had Garoppolo behind him. I'm going to play forever. Now that Garoppolo's gone, Brady's thinking, I got Hoyer behind me. I got Etling behind me. Hey, you know what? Bill, you're not going to win. It's me. It was me who won.
Yeah, we always assume that Belichick wanted to win, or I shouldn't say assume. It was Breer who put it out there years ago.
Yes.
And said that Belichick wants to win without Brady. You know, stated it as just a known thing, which I don't know if it's ever been confirmed or anyone's actually
always dangerous.
Asked him flat outright, but never really considered the other side of it. Does Brady want to go somewhere and win without Bill Belichick? Or does Brady not want Belichick to do that? Or, you know, what are Tom Brady's thoughts with that? I always thought Tom Brady was just happy with winning. Didn't much matter who the coach was and as long as he could do it. I don't think he cared much else about who also did it, as long as they didn't beat him in order to win. Do you give that any credibility, though, that Brady wouldn't want Belichick to win with Garoppolo?
Wait, had Brady... Wait, Brady
Isn't that
won-
his question? His conspiracy was that Brady didn't want Belichick to win with anyone else.
Oh, I get what you're saying. Oh, that's a good one. I like that.
I think that's what he said.
I get it. Yeah, if that's what he's saying, yeah. I like that.
I don't believe that.
Bill wants so badly to win without Brady. Brady doesn't want Bill to win without him.
See, I think Bill, I think Bill would like to win without Brady. But I think
to prove that it wasn't Brady.
Brady.
But if
Brady.
He proves it wasn't Brady, Brady's going to feel like, wait a minute, you're trying to prove that I wasn't the reason? Well, guess what? I'm not going to give you the opportunity. I'm staying here. Maybe he just didn't want to go to another team. Maybe Tom Brady wants to finish his career with one team and was willing to do whatever the hell it took to get that accomplished.
He
felt he deserved it. Felt he was owed that. And that's why he said, bye, Jimmy.
See, what's weird, too, you still have the Tom Brady Sr. comments from the Arizona Super Bowl where he said, this is not going to end well.
And except Brady is still the MVP-level quarterback of the league.
But that was stated before.
So if he's earned anything, he's actually earned it with his play, not with his reputation.
You actually feel better about him as a player.
Who's a better quarterback right now? If you're taking a year-to-year, and you're saying the best quarterback plays, the position battles are real, the best guy gets the job, Brady is still the best guy. So where's the debate?
Right. There's none.
There really isn't.
There's no debate. You start debating it when you're throwing 55%, when you're throwing 17 picks, 22 touchdowns. Yeah. When you start to level off. He hasn't leveled off. He's gotten better. He's gotten better with age. Problem is, how long do you want to play? Can he walk away on top? Can he walk away after having a great year? They could win the whole thing this year, and I could see him walking away.
We have not talked about the Red Sox to this point today. I'm sure that's made you happy, so that we haven't done that.
I don't care.
We've got intern Matt on the line.
Oh.
Who has a Red Sox thought.
He'll be in when?
I don't know. Probably 2 o'clock with Felger Maz. He's their intern, yet he calls in.
Amazing.
He's got a thought on the Sox starting rotation. I've got a thought about what we witnessed over the weekend between the Red Sox and the Mariners. Let's touch on that coming back on the other side.
Can they be replaced by robots?
Robots?
Doubtful.
I think it's silly. So I can talk for 95.
1-2. High fly ball, right field deep. That one way, way out of here. He crushed it. All the way to the cafe. Rafael Devers destroyed it. And the Red Sox take a big lead early.
You're on Zolak and Bertrand. Time for a Beatle Baseball Minute. Here's my thought on the weekend series with the Seattle Mariners. That would make a hell of a playoff series.
Or play-in game.
A hell of a playoff series or a hell of a play-in game or whatever it might end up being between these two teams. I could dig it.
What, 22 games above 500? Seattle, first time in how many years?
It's the first time since 2001, I believe. Or 2000? Yeah. No, 2001 would have been the year. They were tremendous that year. I could dig that, is what I could do. It was a good series. Devers' home run yesterday, by the way, was a freaking bomb. Absolute bomb.
That one,
and I hope that's what it is that kind of sparks him to get the hell out of the slump that he's been in.
Yeah.
Because he has not hit well. And he absolutely stroked that thing. That thing was down and in. He just took that for a ride. But this series, if it ends up being, at any point, Mariners-Red Sox, I don't know that it's necessarily good for the Red Sox. It's somehow an advantage for them. I don't think that's the case. Red Sox won 9-3 yesterday, but the day before were nearly no hit for crying out loud on Saturday night. It would be good for baseball. It would be entertaining. Seattle, I think, is a good team. I do. I think they're legit. Team. I think they're going to hang around. Intern Matt has a thought on the starting lineup. Intern Matt.
Hi.
Hi, how you doing? And hey, Bertrand, I call your show because I love the show. I listen every day.
Thank you.
I can't call Felger and Maz, and I love the show. So
which one do you like better, Matt?
I'll plead the fifth.
Nice. Just like Brady. Good
job. Just like Tom Brady.
So we're a match. Of course. I mean, that's my, you know, they gave me an opportunity. So
they sure did.
Yeah. So anyway, so I just wanted to say about the Red Sox. I agree with you, Beto. The Mariners, you know, they're a good ball club, could make a good playoff series, but I think that our hitting is starting to come back. A lot of these players who have been disappointing, like Devitt, Benintendi, they're starting to streak now, and you know, it's not just Betts and Martinez. But as far as the starting rotation, I'm loving the starting rotation right now. So the question I pose to you guys is, do you feel the same way? And also, who would be the pitcher you're most comfortable with out of the five and least comfortable with out of the five? Because I find four of the five to be nails. And I think number one for me, the most comfortable, is Eduardo Rodriguez. Although Sale is better, I feel more comfortable with Eduardo Rodriguez. He's 13-1 when he pitches. The team is 13-1 when he pitches. And least confident would be former Cy Young, Rick Porcello. So I think we're looking good there. And also, in the eighth, do you think Joe Kelly instead of Matt Barnes as either?
Sorry, Joe Kelly instead of Matt Barnes?
Yes.
I don't love either
option. Pick your
poison. Yeah. But I know that I definitely like Matt Barnes more than I like Joe Kelly.
But, I mean, as far as your starting rotation, I think you're sort of getting locked in now. You understand what it is. But you also have to fast forward to the moment, right? This isn't about a regular season game or a series. You're talking about when the playoffs start. Who do you trust to give the ball?
I'm not giving the first game to Eduardo Rodriguez.
No, he's third.
But I do feel
mid-June, we're doing starting rotation for the playoffs. I like it.
But I do feel like Eduardo Rodriguez finally looks like he's healthy, number one, okay, after dealing with the knee. Finally looks like the guy that we sort of hoped he would be when he came here in 2015 and looked good. He's sort of that guy again. His ERA holds up and be a career best. He's done the job, and he's done it well. And as Matt said, they've won when he's pitched. But Chris Sale is still my number one starter in the playoffs, and David Price is still going to be the number two starter.
I feel more comfortable with Rara Rodriguez.
Rara?
You know what he
Who's
meant.
Who's a Rara?
You know what he meant. But based on what you've seen so far, how is Erod not your third guy?
He's your third guy. Porcello's fourth.
No, it's only June.
You can argue whether who's
middle of June, Jim. This could change in 3 months.
But right now, I mean, you feel pretty damn good about David Price.
Yeah, you can't start a guy that can't go past the six innings in the game one and burn your bullpen.
Yeah, no, you can't do that.
No. Great record. The kid's been nails. He's been great. They win when he pitches. That's what's almost kept you in this thing. You know, the amount of wins he's accrued. They play well when he pitches. That's a good thing.
He has pitched more than six innings twice so far in his 14 starts. He gave you 6 2/3 on April 25th, and he gave you 6 2/3 on May 30th. Other than that, he has not made it more than six innings in a start. 3 2/3, 6, 6, 6 2/3, 4, 6, 5, 5, 5 2/3, 5 2/3, 6 2/3. And then this month, in June, 5 2/3, 5 2/3, and 6 innings. That's what he's giving you.
It's not going to work in the playoffs with this bullpen.
No, it's not. No, it's not. And not only that, this is what I've said about this team. This Red Sox team, as we talk about the trade deadline and how big it could be, and Dombrowski might want to make a splash, and is Devers on the block, sort of all these rumors that have started to swirl. This team is not deficient in talent. They are not. They are deficient in guys who have done the damn job when they get to October.
Yeah.
If you get to October and the guys you have with the expectations to do the damn job, Sale and Price at the top of your rotation, and in a five-game series you get two starts apiece out of them and they do their damn job, right?
Yeah. And Maz has talked about this too.
You're on your way. You get to, you know, you get into a seven-game series and they actually perform.
It's nice to have other guys wake up, like a Bogarts, like a Devers starting to, Jackie Bradley Jr. hitting the home run.
It's not just
J.D. Martinez. And it's not just Chris Sale all the time, but good starts continuing from David Price. David Price has got to continue on his path, and he's got to beat the Yankees.
He's got to beat the Yankees
in one of these series.
Random gripe I just thought about, by the way. Xander Bogarts sliding into first base. Someone please tell him that's not allowed anymore.
Yeah, Cora did.
Oh, no, but someone enforce it somehow.
Bogart said, no, I'm going to keep doing it.
Why?
Why?
Cora said, I don't know. We'll keep talking about it, and hopefully it will stop. Hopefully? What do you mean, hopefully? It's a hard and fast rule. I'm your boss. You work for me. What?
No, Tom said, go with the Devers philosophy. Maybe find his favorite restaurant and give him a, if, every time he doesn't do it, give him a gift card.
Just tell him it's a damn rule. Tell him you put him on the bench if he does it again.
Love gift cards.
Love gift cards. Why is he doing it? Why? It doesn't work, by the way.
No.
It doesn't help you get to first base
slower.
Faster.
Yeah.
It slows you down. Mm.
Duck his head.
It slows you down.
See, Ortiz, when he wanted to get faster, he ducked his head.
I taught that to 8-year-old girls, that you just run right through the base. Through the base. Yeah. Run past the base.
And not only that, there was a, I want to say it was Saturday night, late. He was up late in the game. And he ran to first base on a close play. I think he may hit the ball to short.
What goes through the thought process? I'd show him videos of the NFL Combine about guys running a 40. Watch how they run through the tape. How many of these guys dive at the end to get the 40 from a 4-4 down to a 4-3-0? You actually pick up and increase speed towards the end of your run as you run through it.
When was it?
They teach you that
in
track.
It happened. It was in the eighth
inning. Maybe they did it in Aruba. I don't know.
I just looked this up. He grounded out to short in the eighth inning. And if you saw this at bat, he was hustling. He got out of the box quick. He's moving. But, Jim, you know what he did when he got to first? He did like the, my last step is to first. Like my last step with the hard effort is at the bag.
The ones where guys blow out their legs,
well,
knees,
no.
Ankles?
Basically where like you're extending the leg instead of keeping your same stride. He like extends the leg at first and then rounds it into the left instead of running out to the right, which always drives me crazy on those. Like if you are at the bag and you end up, your body is taking you left towards second base when you run through, you clearly were not approaching that with the run with the same stride, run fast, run through the bag, because he knew he was out and took a left turn. Like, you shouldn't be able to know you're out and take the turn left instead of right at first base. What is he doing? He's all screwed up going to first base, and the slides are driving me nuts. And Cora doesn't like it and wants it to stop. It's a hard rule. That's it. You do it, there's going to be some sort of punishment. He's going to get hurt. It doesn't make any sense.
Maybe they feel like he'll run slower if he's thinking about it.
I don't know, but he didn't slide late on Saturday night in the eighth inning, and he still, I think, is all screwed up. It's a mental thing with him. Run through the bag.
Weird.
Run through. It's the only bag they let you run through. Take advantage. 617-779-0985. Red Sox, Kyrie, Brady, U.S. Open from over the weekend.
Hardy swearing.
We got one more segment of calls. We'll do it next. Today's takeaways at 150 with a big bad word.
If you think Zolak is hard to contain on air,
balls everywhere,
you should work in the same building with him.
Did Zol leave?
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Telephone number. Open lines for you. Everything from the day. Tom Brady. Kyrie Irving. And the most disgusting part about Kyrie Irving's interview, not anything he said, just him talking about the knees, though, which stood out to you more than anything else in his interview with Bill Simmons on the, it's no longer the BS podcast, but it's the Bill Simmons Ringer podcast. Just talking about the injury and what he had to go through. And I go back to everything that's happened with this injury. From, is it a long-term thing? He threatened the Cavs with going to have the surgery. Maybe he should have actually had that surgery last offseason. Maybe the first thing he did after the season came to a close for the Cavaliers last year in the NBA Finals should have been go have that surgery. Listen to him describe dealing with the infection that he dealt with in his knee. It's gross. It's awful.
Huh.
It makes you,
I mean, I encourage you to Google, you know, the surgery and what it takes. And he played with this in his kneecap. And I know it, you can do that, but he's right, man. I mean, your body starts rejecting metal. It's not normal.
Well, no, it got infected,
yeah.
And then therefore he had to have it cleaned out.
Oh, God.
You know, I can't even sugarcoat it. It was tough. Not from, like, kind of watching the guys, but of what I was dealing with outside of that. Like, I was leaving the games at halftime because I had 8-hour shifts of antibiotics I had to take
for
my infection. I had a PICC line in my arm, you know, for 2 months, and I'm just like, every day is like, okay, you know, I can't necessarily lift. I can't run. I can't do anything. If I didn't have my kind of PICC line in for my infection, then I would have definitely gone after trying to be ready for at least the Eastern Conference Finals.
Really?
Yeah, for sure. But the infection was just, I had no, like, I got 2 surgeries in a matter of, I think it was a 3-week span. I got the screws taken out, then I, you know, I had to take out everything completely. I got the wiring taken out first, excuse me, and then I got the screws taken out.
So you felt, you were playing, you felt just a constant agitation.
Yeah, I felt like my body was kind of rejecting the screws at a point.
And oh, interesting. Yeah, probably because it had the infection, right?
Yeah, and it just was like, my body was just like, okay, the screws have, you know, I was talking about my body, as I know it. And it's just like, after a while, my body was just telling me, like, bro, what are you doing with this metal in your body anymore? Like, it served its purpose. I'm healed. Yeah. But now it's like, it's just getting in the way of you just being completely healthy. So
they took the screws out and they found that the area was a little infected,
mm-hmm.
and was actually dangerous to you.
Yeah. Really dangerous. Really dangerous.
Really? I don't know if I can't stop laughing. Really dangerous.
He's not wrong.
That
no,
is really dangerous.
It is.
That can kill you.
Yeah. Blood disease, infections.
Eesh. That could have killed him. That's brutal. Oh, it's awful.
Couldn't lift, couldn't run. Leaving games. Halftime, because I got to start the 8-hour drip.
So going forward, you worried about him?
Yeah.
I'm not worried about him long term. I'm worried about him in the short term. That's a lot to recover from. So he just got that line out, like, what, last month?
Yeah.
Your body takes time to recover from that. That's bad.
Now you gotta get back to the point you were at just to break even, you know, with the lifting and running. Not that you get better and stronger, but you gotta get back to normal.
Well, I hope he does.
He's not back to normal yet. Said he feels good. Doesn't say he feels great, says I feel good.
Right.
Yeah.
So like I said, I'd be more concerned about the next 5 months instead of the next 5 years. I'm not worried about the long term health of the knee. I'm worried about his well being right now, given what he just went through.
Yeah.
That sounds absolutely terrible. And here's another question I have. I'm sorry to keep going back to this item. So he was dealing with that, and he still went and had that deviated septum surgery while this was going on?
Well, he had to sing that song. Yeah.
I would put that thing out.
You gotta get the voice right. He's got that deep voice. He's got a very good voice. You know, hold you in. But you gotta get to hit that right pitch for that song. Yeah, it's going to be a good downloaded song. Everybody's going to want that single. So you had to get that right. Get that big movie. Yeah, that's another thing. Juggling that. Get that movie premiere. Yeah, so you got this big infection. Now you're going to go get the deviated septum done. A lot of meds. A lot of meds. I'm worried. I'm worried a little bit about him.
Well, then there's also Gordon Hayward, and he mentioned him, and he sort of cut himself off. Sort of cut himself off when he started to talk about him.
Yeah, feels guilty for the injury.
But given that, I think he knows more than he wants to reveal, because he doesn't want to reveal someone else's injury information.
Well, you're both dealing with it, so you're going to talk about it. You know, we both have metal in our bodies.
But there's that, too. So the immediate future of both of those guys, there should be a little bit of concern. Max is in the truck. You worried?
I'm worried. What's up, Zoe?
What's up?
I'm really worried. I mean, he's going to want a max contract, and I think Danny Ainge should start looking to trade him for either a pick or for a big guy. I don't want him. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Okay. Now, I mean, I don't know that I'd go so far as saying you don't want the guy, but would Danny consider it? Of course he would. If Danny gets an offer for Kyrie that he likes, he could take it. Don't rule that out. You know, I picked this up in our what I'm holding right now is a Super Bowl 31 media guide.
That one rings a bell.
31. Patriots, Packers. I've been thumbing through it here.
Pats and Packers.
About a half hour.
Yeah.
See, we're moving. The Sports Hub is moving in the coming weeks. So people have started to clean out, you know, filing cabinets and drawers.
Yeah, stuff they don't want.
Offices.
There's a big box in a kitchen in there, and it says free. I thought we had to pay for those.
Stuff that someone might be interested in during this clean out is getting dumped into our kitchen here. And you can take whatever you want. If anything there is interesting, you want to take it home. Yeah. Don't leave it here because it will soon be in the trash if no one takes it. But I found this, a 1990, early 97 Super Bowl 31 media guide. They have updated bios for players, including one for you.
Oh.
Which I really think is unfair that they gave you an updated bio. What did you remember what you did in the 96 season that stood out?
No.
Mm-mm. Like they felt the need to update your bio, and I think I sort of find it rude what they did to you in this.
What'd they say?
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll give you the bio and Hardy's big swear word that he used on the show today. Coming up in today's takeaways.
They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me now. Damn it!
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, time for today's takeaways brought to you by Week 180 Weight Loss. Take away your excess weight for life. It's the official weight loss program of the Boston Red Sox. Interesting day today. Sort of Monday, coming back from a long weekend. And we had the Kyrie Irving podcast with Bill Simmons. We had Tom Brady on with Oprah. We had the U.S. Open at Shinnecock. And Phil's little blunder, which we had fun with Hardy today. Hardy was breaking it down, and he was getting some crap from listeners and callers. And Hardy swore today.
I didn't.
You haven't sworn in a while.
It's a bad word.
What do you mean a while?
Time? I mean, it's like normally when we swear around here, like we'll get half the word out, and it's like Jim, dump it.
It was like
it's like a three. This was not a three-quarter swear. This was not a seven.
Last time I said that swear is like 96, 97, doing a live hit from Metropolis nightclub in Albuquerque.
No, that kind of thing. Yeah, the vibe there. This one came out.
Potty mouth came out.
The big one.
All right,
here we go.
You know who does that? Like 5-year-olds when they're playing putt-putt. They run over and they stop the ball from getting too far away from the hole.
Yep.
It's so basic and obvious and not acceptable and against the rules that no one could believe it. Everyone's laughing about it. His playing partner that day, the big beefy guy, Beef Johnson, right? He was laughing about it. He goes, honestly, dude, I don't mean to laugh. I've just never seen anyone do that before. Like, what the hell were you thinking? Did you see Phil running away from the excuse me.
Oh, Jesus! Holy Jesus! Oh, my God!
Sorry.
Give me some of that, huh? How about that one?
I mean, you got the entire word out.
That's smooth.
It wasn't like you caught yourself. You said the entire word, and then you're like,
I left off the G.
He left off the G, which even accentuates the word that much more.
That's how I would say it.
Hey, man, F it.
But I'd like to modify my take.
I say in, not in.
He shouldn't have been DQ'd. He should have withdrawn. He should have just not shown up and played the final day. It was obviously done. Just withdraw then, regardless of what penalty they imposed.
He was making a statement. He was sticking it to the USGA.
Make sure this course is never getting it again.
He was daring them. He was daring him to kick him out.
Make golf life.
Would have been a better story if they kicked him out. It'd be great.
Yeah,
it'd
be good for
golf.
Should
have done that. Yes.
Need some action.
Phil Mickelson,
like
the moral arbiter of golfers.
Well, somebody had to do it. Someone had to say it. Not enough complaining.
Mickelson the rat sent two people to prison for his stock tip.
Did he rat them out too?
Yeah.
He did?
He stood trial against Billy Walters. Billy Walters is in federal prison right now saying, like, I can't believe Phil hung me out like that. I only got the tip so that he could pay me back the $1 million he lost me on the golf course. And then he stood up there and he gave statements to the effect of, yeah, I didn't know. I didn't know anything about it. You knew damn well what you were doing. How else do you make $930,000 in a day?
Good
on
hunch.
An illegal stock tip.
He had some insight. He's been watching a lot of CNBC, like Kyrie Irving.
Wow.
Just one of the things that Kyrie Irving told Bill Simmons, that he's really into CNBC.
Do they do a lot of flat earth specials?
Probably.
They must.
Yeah.
They must. He's really into CNBC
while he's
been spending a lot of time at home. He's been watching a lot of CNBC as he's rehabbed.
I fell in love with just watching CNBC. I think that is one of the most hilarious channels. It really is funny to watch them go crazy over like just companies and what the market is doing. It's like funny. Like it's like this just in. Pepsi they're trying to reach millennials in terms of consumer and beverage, and they're in competition and they're trying to grow. And it's just like, well, welcome in so and so from Goldman Sachs is going to speak on what they're investing in. It's just like, all day though. Power Lunch is one of my favorites.
I mean, he's not a normal cat. How many of the NBA guys you think are just hanging out? I think they just like hang out and play video games. This guy's watching Power Lunch. Like, he's different.
Do you ever watch CNBC?
No.
Or
I don't have money.
Do you ever have like a news channel that's just constantly playing news on in the background? In the morning, I'll put news.
Yeah, news for weather and traffic.
Yeah.
Like local?
Yeah. But if the TV's on, it's a game or a movie or what was on last
night? Smartest guy in the room, guys.
The Affair.
Smartest guy in the room.
Last night.
You like that show?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, what? I find that show to be atrocious. I couldn't get through more than like two episodes when it started years ago.
Hmm. Well, there's no point in getting back in now. It's completely off the rails.
Good. I'm not planning on it.
You wouldn't know what was going on.
I'm not planning on getting back on the rails.
But just to sit and watch CNBC or Fox or any of them?
By the way, tomorrow I'm going to open it up
CNN?
To...
CNN?
Ugh. I need some binge recommendations for the summer months.
Seanus will have some suggestions.
Maybe he will. But Jim's pretty good at
summer.
This.
Jim's good.
Jim's really good at this.
Jimmy,
Goliath season 2 just came out.
Oh, wait,
Prime.
Did it drop? Yes. I thought it wasn't until July. It's out?
Last week, yeah.
All right. There you go. I got something right there. Goliath season 1 was great. Billy Bob Thornton is great. One of my favorites. I'm in. Excellent.
And Jim.
Thank you, Jim.
And the Kevin Costner one. What is it? Appaloosa, Ponderosa, something about Wyoming. Looks like it's on a ranch.
I haven't seen that one.
You guys don't know about this?
Nope.
Yosemite, I think it's called.
Oh, where these developers come in?
Yeah.
I saw a preview for that.
Yeah.
You think it's good?
I'll take a look at that, sure.
Okay, take a gander?
Sure.
All right.
Especially during these months. This one, you have a chance to actually watch something.
Speaking of Phil, and speaking of the F-bomb, it's not the first time that's happened on this station. Let's do a rewind. It's Phil Mickelson with Maz talking about not hitting the hospitality tent.
On the 18th tee at the U.S. Open, don't hit it off the... Jimmy, don't hit it off the freaking hospitality tent, okay?
So good.
Maz had another
one. What year was that? Do you have the year on that, Jim? Is it labeled?
Jay Stu says 2013.
Maz doubled up on swearing about golf, though.
Felger, no, as in he wasn't.
I think we even put together a little something for it.
Doesn't it feel sometimes like they're more interested in having the offense be a thing of artistry than a thing of effectiveness?
Yes.
It's, let's put away all the cutesy, finesse, pansy
Can't say that.
Are you kidding me?
I can't believe I just said that. Jimmy, did you catch that?
What is the matter with you?
Crap.
What's the matter with you?
Here's my other point with Mickelson. You want to make a few extra million bucks? Is that what you want to do? You don't want to give it to the government? You want to keep it?
Well,
the 18th tee at the U.S. Open, don't hit it off the... Jimmy.
It's a problem for him, a recurring
Don't
problem.
Don't hit it off the freaking hospitality tent, okay?
What is the matter with you?
I think I caught myself.
That's a new low for us.
Wow. Beetle chiming in there. That's old school.
That's way back.
So one was
old.
About the Patriots back. Offense. The other one was about Phil Mickelson.
All speaking of the Patriots offense, the Patriots decided to update Scott Zolak's bio for the Super Bowl 31 media guide.
They throw a lot of passes at you.
I don't know why they did this. Because I don't think every player got an updated bio, but Zoe did. He said career has been Patriots backup quarterback since 1991.
Mm-hmm.
Played in 41 games for the Patriots, including 5 starts, and has completed 85 of 159 career passes.
High route.
871
high route.
Yards
high route.
And 3 touchdowns. Has a 2-3 record as a starter.
Oh.
Played in 32 straight games as the placeholder for all kicks until the opener in Miami. So none of that needed to be updated. This is the updated part. At Miami, 9-1, inactive as third quarterback. At Buffalo, 9-8, inactive as third quarterback.
Is that third quarterback role with Tupa?
Arizona, 9-15, saw his first action at quarterback and completed his only pass attempt of the day. A 5-yarder to who?
Couldn't even tell you.
Dietrich Gels.
Who?
What a name. Dietrich Gels.
I don't even remember him.
Jacksonville, 922.
Tupa. We had the third quarterback rule, so that's the loophole. Technically, if he would go down early in the game, I would go in. Late in the game, I was cleared to go in the fourth quarter.
Inactive as third quarterback.
So saved an extra roster spot for
specialty. All they did, they just kept writing that you were inactive as the third quarterback every week.
Probably had to do that to make sure nobody was looking at you fudging the roll there with Toop.
Yeah. That's what they did. That's a good workaround, though, that you guys had.
Good workaround.
That's an excellent workaround.
How come you had to do all that holding, Zoe?
Matt Barr. One of me is a holder.
I thought Parcells said
you better do something since we gave you that new contract.
Well, until he drafted a kicker.
Right.
Vinatieri.
Hey, we'll be back tomorrow.
All right.
Bye.